And good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator. And it is the race for the state rep seat in the 3rd Plymouth District. And as Kevin Tauchi was telling you just moments ago with our own Charles Mathewson here, if you don't know what the 3rd Plymouth District is, I'm going to tell you. 3rd Plymouth District includes the towns of Hingham, with the exception of Precinct 2, the entirety of the towns of Cohasset and Hull, as well as Precinct 3 of North Scituate. I'm Christine James, your moderator tonight. Now, this is a first for us because we're doing two back-to-back forums. All the candidates here are write-in candidates.
Wow.
We have never done that before in almost the 25 years I've been here. As current Rep Garrett Bradley decided not to seek re-election after the deadline when the ballots were printed, he had no challengers from either party. Now he's got a number of people that are stepping forward that want this seat. And again, first up, we have the Democrats. That's Joan Moschino and Stephen Burm. Thank you for joining us tonight. Both have lovely tans, by the way. Too bad it's radio. Nobody can see that. And asking questions with me, your Monday night talk show host, Kevin Tauchi, and WATD reporter Charles Mathewson, with one T, as you pointed out earlier. Now, our format is simple. We always use the same format. We have candidates give opening and closing statements ready. They can be no longer than 2 minutes. They can be as short as you want, but no longer than 2 minutes. In between, we ask a round of questions, including our famous lightning round, where the reporters will ask either for a one or two sentence answer or a yes or no. And lightning round means lightning. It doesn't mean a little bit faster than regular round. It means yes or no or two sentences tops. Think the McLaughlin group. And I know he just passed away recently. I used to love the way he used to yell at the people on his set, but it really did get them moving. We chose opening and closing order earlier from the WATD Newsroom Koozie, the official one, and that means we will start with Joan Moschino, then we'll go to Stephen Burm, and we reverse that order at the end. And I ask you to keep your answers to a minute. I know we have our timer here. She seems to have disappeared. We'll find her. But anyway, I'll be doing some timing. And we have these big sheets here. And you know what these mean? When you see one of these, this means you can go. This is just like grade school. Green means go. Red means stop. Yellow, okay, this is Massachusetts. What does yellow mean here? Well,
that means it's going to turn red.
That's
right. Step on it.
That's right. Well, in the studio, it means you have about 10 seconds. So that'll give you a little bit of an idea of how much time you have left. And again, as we told you, Massachusetts, if you hear this, the bell, you're done. So we want to try to keep to a minute with the answers.
Question for Mr. Burm.
Yes.
But it was 2 minutes for opening?
Oh, 2 minutes for opening. It can be as long as you... It can be short, but it can be no longer than 2 minutes. And same at the end. It can be short, but no longer than 2 minutes. And we do have back-to-back forums, so that's why we have to be tough about that. And, here's our lovely timer, Amy. Thank you, Amy Vanna. And here's your cards. You've got green, red, and yellow. And she and Amy is going to be timing and letting you know when to start, letting you know when to stop, and when your last 10 seconds come up, Amy's going to hold up her hand and give you the countdown, so you'll be able to see her out of the corner of your eye. Just describing this to the folks on radio who are listening, in case you hear a little rustling in the wind out there and wonder what's going on here. So, got some good... Thank you. You're extra energetic tonight, Mr. Tauchi. He's the one with the squeaky chair, you'll know. And we're going to start tonight with the forum, and we're going to begin tonight with Joan Moschino and your opening statements for our listeners. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you for having us. This is tremendous. Always appreciate an opportunity to visit with residents and voters to get the issues out there. I'm very excited to be running for the state rep position. I have the experience and the relationships and the perspective on the district, but most importantly, I have the commitment to be the voice for the South Shore, the advocate on Beacon Hill. My leadership experience, years as a nonprofit executive director, as a local elected official, a selectman from Hull, and leadership roles on other boards and commissions regionally and statewide uniquely qualify me to work with local leaders, community organizations, and people like yourselves to tackle the issues that are important to us. Representative Bradley, was a great friend to our district, and his resignation leaves an immediate gap in leadership for us. And I am ready, willing, and able to step forward and fill that role while providing what I consider to be forward-looking leadership at the same time. We need to have a regional approach, and that's something that I feel my experience has really has given me a great perspective on our communities and the shared threads that we have and the kinds of things that we should be elevating. And I'm just looking to leverage my experience and to really advocate for the South Shore, for the investments that we need in our community to make for a bright future. So I am very excited to ask for your vote on Thursday, September 8th for state rep. And let me just repeat that. Thursday, September 8th for state representative. I would be the person who's on the ballot already for state senate. And you know, Garrett, when he stepped down and resigned suddenly, that created a huge, his good fortune created a huge opportunity for me. So it was too late for him to come off, too late for me to go over, and I'm asking for your vote for state rep. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Joan Moschino, your opening statement. Let's go to Stephen Berm now.
Thank you. my name is Stephen Berm, and I'm a candidate for state representative for the towns of Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, and North Scituate. I grew up in Hingham. I attended Hingham Public Schools, graduated from Catholic Memorial High School, and went on to earn my MBA and bachelor degrees from Fitchburg State College. My wife, Laura, and I are raising our family in Hingham. We have a 4-year-old son named Matthew and a 2-year-old daughter named Caroline. After graduate school, I had an opportunity to work for Rep. Garrett Bradley, first as his campaign manager and then as his legislative aide and chief of staff at the State House. It was during this time that I knew I would one day want to run for his seat once Garrett stepped down. Working with Rep. Bradley provided me with an opportunity to observe what it takes to be an effective state representative. I learned firsthand that you must provide top-notch constituent services, you must keep local communities informed of various initiatives and grant opportunities, and you must be an independent voice for the district. Following my position working with Garrett Bradley, I served in Governor Patrick's administration as the Director of Legislative Affairs with the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development. This experience allowed me to negotiate and work with advocates and members of the legislature on various legislative and budget proposals that were being considered. These experiences working in state government have prepared me to be an effective state representative. I have built lasting professional and personal relationships with people inside and outside of state and local government, relationships that I can utilize on behalf of the district. I respectfully ask for your vote on Thursday, September 8th, in the Democratic primary. I am the candidate with the legislative experience who can hit the ground running for you on day one.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Stephen Berm. Now we're going to go to questions. Going to go to Kevin Tonchi first. Questions for our candidates tonight.
I guess the first question I want to ask is, since you guys have announced that you're going to be candidates, you're going to be doing the write-in votes, you're out there campaigning different parts of the district. How have the issues differed?
Who you want to start with?
Start with Mr. Berm.
So out on the campaign, it's been great. I've been really out in the community, door knocking in each of the community, and knocking on doors is really where you get an understanding of kind of what's going on in people's mind and the direction they want to see the district go in. Education still remains a top priority. It's one of the main reasons when I talk to people why they moved to this district, and it's something that I will continue to be an advocate for, to make sure we have all the funding we need and make sure we're providing education in the right way for our students and our children.
Thank you. That was Stephen Berm. Same question, Joe Moschino.
So we've been knocking doors throughout the entire district, and as of Saturday, we communicated with 3,000 people. So the issues that I've been hearing about have been climate change and sea level rise. People are very concerned about the environment, especially now with the drought. People are talking a lot about the opiate addiction crisis, and I continue to hear about people's concerns about that and how we'll move forward around those issues. And the need for investing in our infrastructure, including the schools, people are very concerned about question two. What are we going to do about charter school caps? So those are the things that we've been hearing about, and it's been very consistent across all four towns.
Okay, thank you. Question, Charles Mathewson, for the candidates.
Joan, you have on your website among your issues to
to expand drug courts and provide more funding for treatment beds. Where do you place the origin of the opiate epidemic that you just mentioned a minute ago? What's the gateway? And I have a follow-up.
So I think when we're talking about the addiction crisis, a lot of that is prescribing pain medication. And I think that the governor and the legislature took some initial good first steps to really monitor better prescription writing and start to try to stem the tide of that. I think the other problem has been that we don't had too many diversion programs in place. So we were trying to deal with addiction in the wrong venues through jail, through the criminal courts, and avenues like that. So I think we started to take the right first steps, and our challenge is going to be to continue to divert, but we have to divert to programs that can actually help people struggling with addiction, and we're going to have to build out that capacity.
Stephen Berm, what's your take on the opiate epidemic?
Well, I think, unfortunately, all of us have probably known someone or had a family member or a friend that's been affected by this disease, and it's something that we need to take very seriously. I applaud the legislature and the governor for taking a comprehensive look how we deal with this crisis. I was at the National Governors Association conference back in January where Governor Baker chaired a panel where the governors in the room decided to really take a strong look and really be at one voice on this. And Massachusetts took the lead and passed the most comprehensive piece of legislation we have to fight this epidemic. As state representative, I will continue to look for ways to better treat our family members, our friends, people that have been affected by this disease. It's not something that we can take a back seat on anymore. We have to continue to take a look at it and not let up.
It sounds like you place the gateway also with prescription drugs.
Yeah, it's definitely been a gateway for a lot of people that have been affected by this disease. You know, young kids look at it where, you know, maybe they got the prescription from, you know, a parent's closet, and because it was prescribed, they don't know the consequences of what taking this drug really has. The other thing, you know, as Joan mentioned, we really need to take a comprehensive look at how doctors are prescribing this. Unfortunately, I heard, Senator Markey has taken a tremendous lead on this nationally, and I heard him speak back in January about the FDA, how many drugs they allow into the system. Every American would have enough for 30 or 60 pills. I just think that doesn't make any sense to me that many drugs would be in the circulation.
Okay, a quick follow-up. Many people still insist that the gateway to the opiates is marijuana. Would you support a medical marijuana facility in one of the towns in the district? Stephen Berm.
Well, I'm supportive of medical marijuana. I'm not supportive of legalization of marijuana because I do think it's a gateway drug. I think the brain is impaired for young people using marijuana. So medical marijuana I am supportive of. With anything, I don't think any sort of facility like that should be just allowed to go into a community. I really think it should be something that the community has a say in before any of these types of facilities wind up in their community.
Okay, Joan Michino, would you support a medical marijuana facility in any of the towns in the district?
So I would actually support medical marijuana. I think one of the biggest problems we've been struggling with is that there's actually very good chronicling of when opiates are prescribed. I mean, if you've gotten any kind of prescription like that, they take it down, it goes into a database. I think the problem we've had has been that we haven't really looked at the data and we haven't done the kind of oversight that we really need to do. This is not, all doctors are not the problem. I think that there's a handful of doctors that are writing prescriptions in ways that are detrimental to people's health. And I think that there is a way you can do medical marijuana marijuana appropriately, but I think it needs to be something that the community is receptive to, and that you're able to cite with some responsibility.
Thank you.
Okay. This is for Joan Moschino. Now, first you were running for the state Senate seat. You won the primary election in the special election and then lost to Patrick O'Connor. Now, next you're out there campaigning to run again, except now you're running as the write-in for the 3rd Plymouth District, but your name is still on the ballot for the state Senate seat. So what if you win the primary election for the state Senate seat and not the 3rd Plymouth District? Would you switch your allegiance? What would you do? Now, Paul Gannon is pretty sure you're going to win that state Senate primary. In fact, he's campaigning on it as a write-in, confident you're going to win and that the Democrats will decide that Gannon is the best candidate to run against O'Connor.
So let me just be clear. I am asking for your vote for state representative. And if I do happen to win the state Senate nomination, I will actually decline that, regardless of what happens in this state rep race.
Okay.
So let me just be clear. I am asking for your vote for state representative. But given the circumstances under which Representative Bradley resigned, it was too late for him to come off the ballot. It was too late for me to switch over, and it was too late for anybody else to get on. So in fact, if you look under the Plymouth-Norfolk Senate race, I am a candidate listed there, but don't pause there. Go right just below it is the third Plymouth District state rep race. And so just copy the information from above right down under Garrett's name, and don't forget to circle in the little bullet on the side.
So no matter what happens, you will decline that even if you win the state
yes.
Senate nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Steve Burm, you've worked for Garrett Bradley as an aide for a number of years. Have you ever worked for yourself or in private industry and or served in any other elected or appointed Hingham capacity?
So I worked for myself as a teenager with a lawn business, if that counts. So I worked, right currently I'm in the private sector. I work for a trade association called the International Council of Shopping Centers. We're a trade association for the shopping and center industry. I have not held any sort of volunteer or positions within the town of Hingham. I am a Hingham youth hockey coach. I'm entering my sixth season as a Hingham youth hockey coach, but working for Rep. Garrett Bradley for 9 years, you know, I was out in the community a lot and working on behalf of the residents of the district and working with those with those local officials.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Kevin Tauchin.
How independent are you as a candidate, and how will you retain your independence from party leaders that might want you to control how you vote? Now, we've had many times that we've had individuals in here, they get elected and say that they're going to be they are going to be independent, and yet, if we look at their record today, usually more than 85% of the time, they vote with the party. So, how independent will you be, and how will you retain that, Mr. Berman?
So, first and foremost, I will be an independent voice on behalf of the district. You're up there for one reason, and that reason is to represent the district no matter what's going on and no matter, you know, who's maybe asking you to do what. If there's an issue that's affecting the district, I will be 100% committed to advocate on behalf of the district. Oftentimes, I think what happens in the legislature is various bills are being debated, comprehensive bills that are moving through the legislative process, and you know, there's opportunities to weigh in at that point. So sometimes bills don't end up exactly the way you would like, and maybe there's certain pieces that are missing from it. But you may support the bill at that point, knowing that you'll have another bite at the apple at a different legislative session. So,
okay. Do you have the same question for Joe Moschino?
Well, I think, so first of all, we're here to represent the district. So it begins and ends with the constituents and the needs of the 3rd Plymouth District. But I'd say also in addition to that, I have a pretty strong record of being an independent thinker, doing my homework, really researching what I think the issues are and figuring out what the solutions should be. I'm someone who, through my work as a selectman, I mean, I think that was pretty clear in Hull, through my work at Mass Appleseed as a social justice advocate and as the leader of that nonprofit, I think I have a very clear record of being an independent thinker and a strong advocate and a strong voice. That being said, it's also about building consensus and trying to move forward pieces of legislation that are foundational. So I think it's about doing your homework, thinking for yourself, and being strategic. So
I just want to ask a quick follow-up because I put that same question in a different form. Well, I remember when Garrett Bradley came in here the first time when Mary Jeanette Murray still held the seat. That's how long I've been here, forever. He had a record of close to 100% of the time voting with House leadership. And this is purely speaking as a casual observer. I read, the Patriot Ledger, look through the State House reporters. So do most of the South Shore Democratic legislators. The only one who seems to occasionally even break rank under that 85% rank is Walter Timmelty. Now, do you think, when you talk about voting with leadership, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, or it doesn't matter? Joan.
That would be Joan.
Your two sisters are here, too.
That's right.
June and Jane.
I think, again, it comes back to, what are we talking about? I mean, is it an initiative that I've put forward myself and I'm pushing and navigating? Is it something we're working on? I don't think it's as easy to say it as straight up as that, but I guess I would also argue that, I go back to my record as a selectman. I think it was pretty clear that I always do what I think is the right thing for our towns, our community, and that's where I start. So if that means that, that puts me in that 85% bracket, that's fine, but it's where you start, and that's where I always start, is doing the right thing for our community.
Okay, thank you. That was Joe Moschino. Stephen Berm, same question.
So, I think I've spent my career, especially working in the Patrick administration, about building a consensus and collaborating with people to come to, a good footing on this particular bill. I've worked on major comprehensive pieces of legislation for Governor Patrick, and it's really an opportunity to get out there and bring in a number of folks to the table to come up with the best bill as possible. And a lot of times, even Republicans probably have close to, 85% with House leadership, because it really is about building a consensus in the legislature.
Okay. Let's go on to Charles Mathewson.
Okay, this is the 3rd Plymouth District. If you can picture this on a map. And, Kevin, what other towns in the 3rd?
What other ones? Besides what? Get the piece of paper in front of me.
Hull, Hingham, Cohasset, North Scituate. If you picture those towns on a road map, really, you can't get there from here, as they say in Vermont. Stephen Berm, you have on your website that you would expand ferry and commuter rail. Is that enough to solve the transportation difficulties of this district?
No, I don't think that is enough to solve all the problems. Traffic is a major issue with anybody who has to commute to Boston that does not take public transportation. As far as the ferries goes, they've been a hugely popular. I'd like to see expanded service beyond in the weekends, beyond what it currently is in the summertime. I also think we need more options to Hull. I've talked to a lot of Hull commuters who just say there aren't enough options for them to get home. Some of the issues that I'd like to work on from, say the Route 3 perspective is really widening that bottleneck between exit 16 and 15. It's a road that I have to take to get to my house, and it always just bottlenecks there. So I'd like to see that addressed as state representative.
Joan Moschino, what would you do to solve? You actually reside in Hull.
I do.
Do you get there often?
Well, I start there every day, and I come home every night. I actually am a faithful commuter on the ferry. And it is the best way to get into the city. From Hull, it is 25 minutes, and it runs faithfully and religiously, and even in that horrible winter when Hingham was frozen solid, the Hull commuter did continue to run. I think it's about getting cars off the road. It's about public transit every step of the way, and that means better, more expanded service for the ferries. That means the better bus line, especially for Hull. That's one of the, I'd say that's one of the biggest problems we have, is that that little bus is only runs on the hour, and it really doesn't connect the way it needs to between the ferry, the depot, and the commuter rail to really give you a true experience of public transit. And actually, to alleviate the bottleneck is not going to be to widen the road, it's going to be to put in a double track heading from Savin Hill into to get more commuter rail in there so that you actually can expand.
I get a better idea.
Well, oh, I'd love to hear
Teach
it.
Teach people how to merge.
Oh, that would be... Or drive
That's what you got to do.
Drive slower and please stop looking at merge. Your cell phones. That would be the big thing. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right. In the district, which Charles just mentioned again, I think the biggest concentration of voters, I think, is in the town of Hingham.
Yes.
Is that correct? Doesn't Hingham also have the highest percentage of millionaires on the South Shore? I believe so. A lot of that money comes from small businesses, and I'm wondering what each one of you candidates would do to help small business here on the South Shore, specifically a lot of these kinds of small businesses. Let's start with you, Stephen Byrne.
In my current position with the International Council of Shopping Centers, I work with retailers throughout the country, actually. One of the major issues we're working on, and we're actually trying to get states to think about it, is the marketplace fairness issue. It's the collection of internet sales tax. Unfortunately, our merchants and local shop owners are at a competitive disadvantage to these online retailers, and it's something that we need to talk about to level the playing field. In addition, I've been through my door knocking of taking the opportunity to go and meet with small business owners throughout the district. And one of the things that was mentioned to me was this year, for the first time in a long time, there was not a sales tax holiday. And that's something that I will file legislation to make sure that we have a sales tax holiday again next year. Not only did these merchants potentially lose out on extra revenue, they also lost out on a lot of opportunities to really market their business around that promotion. So it's something I think we really need to take a closer look at and make sure that we're supporting our small businesses.
Let me ask you just a follow-up to that. I'm not talking necessarily about all the brick and mortar stores. I'm talking about accountants, plumbers, financial consultants, lawyers, engineers, people that may have a gross income that puts them in that millionaire bracket. Do you think they should be taxed at a higher rate, which has been spoken about? I don't think a lot of people really realize who that's going to affect. Stephen?
Yeah, and it's an issue that whoever's the representative will deal with. Once again, the legislature voted at the Constitutional Convention to move the question again till next year to deal with it again. It's something really that I want to take a close look at. You know, I think that everybody really needs to pay their fair share, and there are a lot of ways that we can do that, and I think it's something that I'd like to take a close look at.
Okay. Joan, same two kinds of questions, but what will you do to help small business, and then do you think people with a gross income over $1 million should be paying more in taxes?
So as far as the small businesses, I mean, we were talking about transportation earlier. I mean, I think congestion is one of the biggest challenges that small businesses face, just getting around and parking and being able to access some of the businesses. Down here on the South Shore, especially for Hull and Cohasset, a lot of these businesses too thrive on the seasonal. So for Hull, that's a big issue, is the seasonal businesses and trying to focus on sort of connecting on a tourism basis and what brings people down to the South Shore to shop or to dine or what have you. So I think that there's some basic infrastructure investments that as someone in government we can be doing to make it more hospitable for you to actually bring and have a thriving business down here, and that's smart planning, that's transportation, what have you. The other problem is workforce housing. So I really feel like that's a piece that the South Shore is going to need to address. As far as the
second part of the question,
part of the question on the fair share, you know, we need more revenues. It is a basic fact. You know, since I think it was 2002, we had some tax cuts, income tax cuts go into effect, and I read somewhere that we're down maybe $3 billion in revenue since that time, and that's money that's lost to us and not made up. So we know we need more revenues. I actually think we should be talking about a more progressive tax rate as opposed to just a straight flat tax on over $1 million, because we'll get the revenues from that, but are we alleviating the tax burden on the lower incomes brackets? And I think that's something that we should also be talking about.
So you haven't made up your mind, consider it?
I'll definitely do it, but I would just rather, that's only taking care of one part of the problem. So we're trying to just go for more revenues, but we're not actually alleviating some of the issues on the lower incomes. If you want to generate and help small business thrive, put money back in the pockets of people in lower income brackets, because if you alleviate their tax burden, all they're going to do is go out and spend it in the local shops. So I think that there's a way to solve the problem, the burden on the lower income tax bracket people, a way to start building around the investment in small businesses in our district, and also to generate some more revenues.
Okay. Question, Kevin Tauchi.
One of the things that you both brought up was about how to better fund education. How do you feel we should better fund education without raising fees or taxes or cutting other programs?
Start with Stephen.
Yep.
Well, I think that we need to find ways within the state budget to make sure that every last dollar comes back to our communities to fund education. I'd also like to take a closer look at, you know, how we're, our schools are made up and kind of the policies in place at a lot of these, at our public schools. But definitely, I think we can take a little closer look and make sure we're setting aside enough tax revenue and making sure every last dollar comes back to our communities.
Same question, Jill.
Restore local aid. When the legislature cut local aid initially, was that 2005, 2006, you know, that had dramatic impact on the towns on the South Shore. And, you know, if you look at the circuit breaker, they haven't fully funded it since then. That's the line item that funds the special ed and really helps cities and towns pay for the kids that are really expensive to address and rightly so. We should be taking care of their special needs and meeting their educational requirements, and that's the offset. But we haven't fully funded that. We really need to. And to bring that local aid, to start bringing up the Chapter 70 money back up to where it had traditionally been, to support education for all the kids.
Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates.
Joan, you have stressed environmental issues. You opposed the Four River compressor station, and you're emphasizing preparation for climate change. Why have you taken this tact?
So I think sea level rise and climate change is the single biggest issue facing our district.
Why? Because they're all coastal towns?
Well, they're all coastal towns, but don't forget, when you have huge storm events, it might hit the coasts first, and we might feel the most immediate dramatic effects of it, but inland flooding and winds, you know, temperature changes, drought like we're facing now, these are things that face the whole state. So it's not just about what's on the coast. I'm just more aware of it because it's something we see every single day. I mean, you can't live in one of these four towns without going out and acknowledging that things have changed and the tides are higher and the storms are more severe. So I actually think it's the most important piece for us from a public safety, for protecting our infrastructure and our residents' homes, our businesses. Think Cohasset Harbor or Scituate. You know, these are places where Hull, where our entire business tax base, could go out in one big storm. So I feel that these are important issues, but I've emphasized it because we have to start dealing with it now. This isn't something we can kick down the road. This is something that I feel we have to plan for. We have to do smart planning around. We have to be, adaptive and resilient in the face of these storms. We're going to lose our homes. We've all struggled with FEMA flood maps. That information just needs to be accurate so we can do good planning. Insurance rates have gone sky high, not just for flood insurance, but regular insurance as well. So these are things that are hitting our residents, and they need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed as a region, not just town by town.
And you're listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, WATD, the Soundshore's news and information station. You're listening to a political forum. These are the Democrats. That's the candidates for the 3rd Plymouth District. Same question now to Stephen Berm.
Stephen, if we look at your two websites, it seems that you have ceded this issue to Joan. Is that true?
No, I definitely haven't ceded the issue to Joan at all. I think climate change is something that is extremely important. In fact, my wife works in an industry that's looking to be a leader in offshore wind. So it's something that our family is definitely invested in. And it's something that, while I worked in the legislature and worked in the Patrick administration, that was talked about a lot. I think the state has been a leader. We've passed the Green Communities Act. We've done a lot of really smart things to cut down on our carbon emissions and to take a closer look at our energy. Going back to being a coastal community, fortunately for us, Sandy went west and didn't continue north and hit us, because communities like Hull and Hingham and Cohasset and Scituate would have been devastated by that. And we really need to be a leader and continue to make sure that our infrastructure is able to withstand a storm like that. The weather patterns have been very abnormal. We're in a huge drought right now, and then we've had 2 years ago we had record snow. So something's going on in the environment, and we need to, for the next generation, for our children, we need to really make sure that we're addressing these concerns.
Okay, I want to go to the lightning round now, and this is where the questions get asked by us, the reporters, and the answers are either yes or no. Or one or two sentences, and the reporter will tell you what kind of an answer they want. Let's start with you, Kevin Tonchi.
A question that you had, something you had mentioned earlier. I like the tax-free weekends, like we didn't have this year. Would you favor a meals tax-free week for restaurants, yes or no?
Yes, I would. I think it's been...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Same question, Joan.
Not in the summertime, no.
Okay. Charles Matheson, lightning round.
Let's rattle down the four ballot questions. Yes or no? Question one, would you allow the Gaming Commission to issue an additional slots license? Stephen?
Not at this time, but...
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Question two, would you authorize approval of up to 12 new charter schools? Stephen?
Not at this time.
Joan?
No, I oppose the cap.
Question three, would you prohibit certain methods of farm animal containment, Stephen?
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Question three, would prohibit certain methods of farm animal containment.
I would support that.
Joan?
Yes, I support that.
And question four, would legalize recreational marijuana for individuals at least 21 years old? Yes or no, Stephen?
I am opposed to legalization.
Joan?
I oppose the legalization as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Plymouth County government. Keep it or leave it. Time to stay or time to go. Stephen Byrne, two sentences.
I think it definitely, from a convenience standpoint, I think it's something that should stay. I think if it went away, people would not be able to get the services that they really need. So I'd like to keep it.
Two sentences, Joan.
I think county government could be really good. I don't think we'd miss it here if it went away.
Okay.
Time to go.
Thank you. Kevin.
For or against Common Core?
For. Common Core came from Massachusetts.
Okay.
For.
Okay.
I'd like to take a closer look at our testing in our schools. So,
okay, Charles Mathewson.
Committee assignments, and Stephen, you graduated from Catholic Memorial, not Archbishop Williams, right?
Catholic Memorial, yes.
Yeah, okay. As a freshman legislator, would you what committee assignments would you prefer to have, Stephen?
The two I would go for would be Financial Services and the Economic Development Committee.
Joan?
Transportation and climate change.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question. Do we need more gun laws here in Massachusetts? Joan, two sentences.
No, I think we're doing fine. I think the problem has been illegal guns coming across the borders. I think we need to lean on our neighbors.
All right, Stephen Byrne, need more gun laws here?
No, I applaud the legislature and the governor for passing a comprehensive gun law.
Okay, now you've got an opportunity to ask each other a question, and you would try to keep your answers to about a minute. Stephen, do you have a question for Joan Moschino?
Joan, I know the Appleseed Center for Law and Justice, where you previously served as executive director, has raised concerns about the role police officers play in our schools. Many constituents I've talked with applaud the role school resource officers, the role they play in making our public schools safe and more secure, while also fostering positive and collaborative relationships with police officers and the youth. As a parent, I am comforted by the additional security these officers provide. As representative, I will continue to advocate for funding for local school resource offices.
Is there a question?
Is this a proposal that you would support as well?
So, my work at Appleseed was around school discipline issues and the push out dropout around, especially around children, minority children, children in poverty, and children with special ed. And our research uncovered some real concerns around police in schools and what roles they play. So one of the big problems and the challenges is that school resource officers, there's no real funding for trainings. So Rep. Bradley had actually gotten some funding for our district to actually pay for dedicated officers in that school resource officers in our schools. But I think the challenge is that if those officers aren't trained to de-escalate issues, if they're not trained to deal with unconscious bias, if they're not clear about their role and why they're there and how they relate with the staff, right up to the superintendent and the principals themselves, what happens is we do what all adults do. We defer to the police officer, and that person is not necessarily an educator. And so what happens is we've seen casual observation just by being physically present. Officers are being asked. They don't want to do this, but they are being asked to arrest and to handle regular school discipline problems, and that escalates everything, and that's the heart of the problem and why we opposed it.
Thank you very much. Now, do you have a question for Stephen Byrne?
Yes. So, Steve, I know how excited I am about running for state rep and at the prospect of serving our district and our community. And in fact, if elected, I will pledge to you that I will make this role my number one priority. And my question to you, as I'm wondering, is do you plan to make this your priority, or do you plan to work or have a side job? I'm just wondering what your commitment is to the role.
So my commitment will be for the residents of the district. I will take this job very seriously. However, on a state rep salary, it's tough to raise a family in this district. And with two young kids, I want to provide every opportunity to them that I have. So I will look for something part-time to close the gap in the salary that I would be losing for pursuing this opportunity as state rep. But there is a balance, and there are many legislators on Beacon Hill that do hold two jobs, and they manage it fine, you know, learning under Rep. Garrett Bradley to see the hard work and dedication that he put into the job, and just his commitment is something that I learned from, and that's what I would continue as state representative.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go to our closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order. We began with Joan and then went to Stephen, so we're going to start with Stephen, then go to Joan. No longer than 2 minutes, please.
Sure. Well, I'd like to thank WATD and Joan for the opportunity to talk about our campaigns here tonight. I respectfully ask for the residents of Hingham Hull, Cohasset, and North Scituate for your vote on Thursday, September 8th in the Democratic primary. As a husband and father of two preschool-aged children, I have a vested interest in making sure we make the Commonwealth a better place for the next generation. I will be a strong, independent voice and will fight every day to make sure our children continue to receive a top-notch education, that our seniors and veterans receive the care and services that they deserve, and that our first responders have the resources to keep our community safe, and that our local businesses and workers have a voice on Beacon Hill. Having spent the majority of my professional career working on behalf of the residents of Hingham, Hull, Cohasset, and North Scituate, I am the candidate in this race who has the experience and relationships to serve you on day one. Once again, I respectfully ask for your vote on Thursday, September 8th in the Democratic primary. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Stephen Burham. Now, closing statement with Joan Moschino.
Yes, and allow me to add my thanks to Steve's for having us in here. It's actually a terrific opportunity to visit with you and with Steve and to discuss issues so that voters can really have a sense. And this was the only forum that we got to do this. I'm very excited about my race, and we have been knocking doors throughout the district. We reached out to almost 3,000 people, and the response has been tremendous. People are excited that someone with my background and credentials and my leadership experience is running, and we have a great and a growing base of support. I'm proud to have been endorsed by Mass Alliance and Mass Women's Political Caucus, the Environmental League of Massachusetts, the Mass Nurses, Labor, and you know, I feel that between my experience as a local elected official and as a social justice advocate and a lawyer, that I am uniquely qualified to work with residents, with community groups, with civic leaders, local officials, to really tackle the issues within our district, to advocate for the investment and the resources that we need to invest in our community to make for a bright future. I see a lot of opportunity, and I would respectfully ask that you write my name in for 3rd Plymouth District on Thursday, September 8th, and please, I'd be grateful for your vote and honored to represent. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and of course, we will provide complete election night coverage. On the primary night, we'll be sending reporters out to follow all the candidates. And remember, as we tell you here on WATD, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. We're going to take a quick break now, come back and talk to the Republicans. Thanks for listening.
Thank
Stick
you.
Around. Thank
Thanks. you. Good luck. WATD FM Marshfield.